Hello and welcome to the Pink in the City podcast. Pink in the City is a breast cancer charity. We are raising awareness and funds and providing information and inspiration. Please share this episode with the world and join us in our mission. And now let's proceed to today's episode.
Hello and welcome to Pink in the City podcast. Today, I'm Denise Bertumas and I've got Sophie Blondin joining me. Hello, Sophie. How are you today?
I'm fine, Denise. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Well, you know, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we love to hear from our guests and how this month is important. So, Sophie, tell us... tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a patient support coordinator at the breast clinic of the MUHC. So basically, I'm working with the surgeons of the clinic. And whenever there's a lady who gets diagnosed with breast cancer, then they are referred to me so I can propose, talk, and support the patient throughout her treatment plan from the very beginning till the very end when they say, Sophie, thanks, but no thanks. I'm back now on track.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing this, Sophie?
I've been doing this for 2 years now, and it's the initiative of Dr. Sarkis Medarisyan, because before that, it didn't exist.
And so tell me a little bit about why you're doing this.
Because it answers a need, because I believe in it deeply, because I believe that when you get a diagnosis of cancer, you need support. And you need support not only for someone who will be there for you just to listen, but also to understand what's happening to you. So that's why everything I do it based on that whole objective of being a support for the patients. But support goes through understanding what's coming, understanding what's going on, and also about supporting one another.
Well, that's fabulous. So what have been some of the successes so far, would you say?
Well, humbly, I must say that when I started the newly diagnosed program, I could see that it answers a need in terms of information-wise, because I was able to gather all the information, the source of information, like, yes, it could be the nutritionist, yes, the sex therapist, yes, the exercise physiologist, but also the lymphedema specialist at the breast clinic, the radio oncologist. So breast surgery, breast reconstructions, anesthesia. So my goal was really to cover every angle. And I was surprised that ladies who were very anxious at the beginning could say, Sophie, I'm still anxious, not knowing when everything will be over for me, what will be the results or the outcome, but at least in terms of understanding what's coming, I sleep better. So honestly, I could say that by giving them information, empowering them to go with not only the flow, but also to feel kind of control with what's going on because they understand what's coming.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. So tell us in terms of numbers. So how many patients do you work with?
Well, if you just talk about the newly diagnosed, I must say it varies from 1 week to another, but usually in a week, I may have 8 or 9 newly diagnosed. So that doesn't imply all the other ladies who have been with me since the very beginning and are now in the after cancer program or the post-treatment support group. So, but basically I have about 7 or 8 new ladies a week.
Okay, that's quite a number every week.
It is a number, but due to the mission of the breast clinic, which is like the second line, unfortunately, statistically speaking, that's why I have so many.
Right. And so how do you find now with the pandemic, how has it changed things for the wellness center, for the breast clinic? What can you tell us about that?
Oh, first, let me tell you how it changed the life of the breast cancer patient, the pandemic. They were so resilient. They were so courageous. They went through it. Not knowing what's coming, they dealt with the anxiety that we all had to dealt with. But not only that, them having a diagnosis. So they've been my hero for almost 1.5 years now. I no one can really understand what these women have been through, having to face those two challenges that nobody prepared them for that. And even us working in a hospital, we went at this go along. So really, they were fantastic. In terms of programs, wellness, the wellness program didn't change. We just switched online completely. So before that, we had services in the clinic per se, but when the COVID struck, then what happened is we switched online. So nothing stopped. I even had more sessions, information sessions, but nothing has stopped.
Wow, that's fabulous. So what are some of the feedback you're getting from the ladies that are part of this program? What are some of the feedback?
Well, they feel privileged because some of them know that most of the organizations during the pandemic that offer cancer support patients closed. So they felt privileged, but also they felt that because of that, they were able to cope with the waiting, cope with the diagnosis, cope with the treatment easier. So this is Sophie, we knew somehow that there was a place where we could be among themselves, like every 3 weeks in the in-treatment support group, like with the newsletter where they could share each other resources. And now we have a Facebook page just for the patients at the clinic. So because of that, they always felt that although they were deprived from their natural support, network support because of COVID, they felt that within the community of the clinic, they were not alone. And that was the ultimate goal, especially in a time of COVID.
Yeah, it seems like you are one family, really.
That was my goal. It was ambitious at the beginning because switching from in-person to virtual, I was afraid that I might lose some ladies. So far, no. The only one who could not, for many reasons, do it virtually, then I kept contact on the phone. So they knew they could call me and I would call them back and I would take the time. So there's a lady that I talk to every 2 or 3 weeks. So we really try, but she reads the newsletter, so she knows what's coming. So I really try to give them a sense of community, either newly diagnosed in treatment or post-treatment. I think it was the most powerful tools that I could develop in the pandemic for them.
Yeah, for sure. It hasn't been easy for, you know, it's not easy going through a diagnosis, let alone going through a diagnosis and being in a pandemic.
It's unbelievable. We cannot even imagine. Like before COVID, I would say to the ladies who were newly diagnosed, it's like being put on the top of the Everest mountain, no winter coat, no oxygen, and then you're told, breathe. So that's how it felt to have a diagnosis of breast cancer. But having a diagnosis of breast cancer in the time of COVID, it was unbelievable. We couldn't even picture it, the anxiety that went through it. And not only because the situation was not easy in the hospitals in terms of operating room and diagnosis and all that, but also the fact that these ladies who would have needed the support of their loved ones, their friends, couldn't have it. So there were a lot of ladies that cope with the COVID by isolating themselves home. So that was really hard.
It was. So what's coming in the future?
What's coming in the future? Well, eventually COVID will be under control. I'm not daydreaming to say that it will disappear from our lives, but my wish will be that eventually we could have a hybrid between the services that I give online and in person. Because I know that some ladies, example for the in-treatment support group, I know they like to be in the room with other ladies. However, I'm fully aware and I've seen it and I've experienced it for the last 15 months that when a lady is in chemo, she may want to be part of the group, but she doesn't have the energy to come to the hospital. So because of that, I think that ideally it will be a combination of both. So I'll be in the clinic, which I'm not as we speak, but I'll be in the clinic, have the ladies who wants to do it in person in the clinic with me, and the others will join us virtually. So I believe in that. Also for the haircare professionals, I have all the series of 101, anesthesia 101, breast reconstructions 101, or hormonotherapy 101 with Dr. Matarisian, breast reconstructions with two plastic surgeons. I have brain fog 101. I do have many radio oncology, radiotherapy 101, and chemotherapy 101. So for these sessions, it's easier for the healthcare professionals to really do it online. It's a 60 minute. So because of that, I feel privileged to be able to work with them, but I also feel that they like having that mode, because it's not like an in-person where they have to be in the hospital at a right time, at a good time, in the right room. So because of that, I think both avenue, virtually and in person. Ideally, there's that. There's also the after cancer program. There is a post-treatment support group for the ladies who are told, well, now you can move on with your life, come and see me every 6 months. Well, there are challenges associated with that. So that's why there's a post-treatment support group every month. But there's also a unique after-cancer program that we have. And I can humbly say that it's unique in Quebec. We just got a grant, Dr. Matarisian and I, and two of the MUHC. We will develop a coaching program with certified coaches. So basically the goal is to help these women exploring all the issues that they are facing now that they are on the other side of the Everest.
Yeah.
What I usually tell them, I said, once you're clear, you cannot throw yourself down the mountain. You really have to go step by step. And on the way down, then you discover things about yourself that maybe you never thought of.
Right.
So because of that, that's what I want to do. Basically, the study will have two phases. They will be first phase with small group with me. Basically, I will use coaching tools, and professional coaching will be like any coaching you can find in a national bank at the government Hydro-Québec. So I'm a certified coach. Working with me is also a certified coach. So I'll explore tools with the ladies and to help them exploring all the challenges that they are facing now. That's the first part of the study. And the second part, they will be one-on-one coaching with a colleague of mine, Sabine Newman, who's also a certified coach. And she will be there with them for five sessions, every 2 weeks. So basically the goal is to help them in that transition period, which is very important. And unfortunately, we have a tendency to forget the challenge associated with that, because in our mind, for those who have never been diagnosed, we'll say, oh, you must be happy. You're done. And the lady would say, yes, I am happy, but. So I want to help them with the but section for the transition. So that's what's coming. We should start this study. I would say we should start recruiting in less than a month now.
Wow, that sounds like such a fabulous program that's coming.
Well, it's unique, I must say, because usually professional coaching, you'll find it in only big companies like Bombardier, like the government. So what I'm doing is I'm bringing that professional approach to ladies who have finished their treatment. So it's we're talking about certified coaches who has a code of ethics, who has a specific training exam. So it's more than just support. It's also part of being challenged using specific tools. So for that, I think it's unique in Quebec, really. It's different from the support group, the post-treatment support group. I think it's a combination. The best way will be the post-treatment support group, where lady can get among themselves and share about the challenges that they have. And the after cancer program, well, basically what they have is each of them will do a personal journey to see where she's at. How can she cope with it? What's new? What's different? What does she really want?
I'm so inspired from all of this, really. So Tell us about how the fundraising helps the wellness program.
It's a game changer. It's not help. Without it, it wouldn't exist. I mean, you have to remember that 2 years ago, none of this existed. And Dr. Mehdi Rissin, in collaboration with Pink in the City, they worked very hard to collect money. He believed in that project so much. So when he approached me 2 years ago, he said, Sophie, now I'm ready and I need you to start everything. So funding is the breed that supports, the air that supports everything that I do. And the ladies and myself, very grateful every time they see how beneficial these different programs are for them. They'll say, how come it doesn't exist elsewhere? I say, well, it's because we have the generosity of all the community behind us. So they are amazed. It wouldn't exist. It really would not exist.
And so how do you feel about the whole raise craze that's happening right now? Tell us about that. I'm curious to see what you are feeling right now and maybe, you know, what the entire team is feeling, because
it's amazing. When Dr. Mehdi Rissin a year ago came up with the idea, I'm going to shave my hair, everybody was stunned. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that. He said, of course I can do it. There's nothing I wouldn't do. And in fact, if he could put his heart on the table to raise more money, he would do it. So because he can't, he ended up shaving his hair. But I can tell you that it creates a big buzz, not only among the staff, but also among the patients who cannot believe their eyes that Dr. Sarkis Mehdi Rissin will shave his head. There was even a lady who told me, she said, Sophie, you know, when there was the low-to COVID thing, she said, Sophie, if I win the first prize for COVID vaccination, lotto, whatever, lottery, I'm going to give it so he will not shave his hair. I said, well, it doesn't work like that. I said, no, I'll give it to him unless he... So all that to say that the ladies are expecting to see him in pink first, I can tell you that. And second, they can wait for the day he will actually do it, but also they feel sad because they say, how long would it take before he comes back as he used to? I say, well, he will be the same man, the same doctor. Oh, no, it won't be the same. So just to tell you that the impact that he has, but because of that, especially after the pandemic that we had, I guess it was only him who could give that fresh start and make such a big buzz about it. Yeah,
it's pretty impressive, actually, to see what's been done in just a few weeks. And especially, like, we're just starting Breast Cancer Awareness Month today. And it's incredible to see the amount of money that has been fundraised so far.
So far, yes. Really, when he first told us a year ago, maybe $100,000, this and that, we said, yeah, sure. And then when he moved to $200,000, we said, well, it's possible. It is possible. It's possible. Really, it's amazing. And it's because of him. It's because of what he does. It's because he goes frontline. It's because in the worst of pandemic, as a director of the breast clinic, he fought for the patients, really. He advocates for them. And one thing that I told the ladies, and I was very comfortable saying, is you won't fall into the crack. You're part of the clinic. You won't fall into the crack. Dr. Mehdi Rissin will see to it. So, and it's totally true. I'm not saying that the ladies still had no problem waiting for treatment, surgeries and all that. But I said that having the conviction that there was someone there leading the troop helped them, yes.
No, absolutely. So if there was one message to share with everyone, what would that be?
It would be thank you. Thank you for what you've done, but there are still needs and we still need you. Please.
For sure. So, I'm looking forward to the entire month on how it unfolds and to see what will be the total amount of raise craze. That'll be at the end of the month.
Yes, that will be on October 20th. So that's the day Dr. Matarisin will shave his hair. So I guess there will be a lot of people attending the event, if it's possible, COVID-wise. But
right.
If it's not, then we'll be virtually for sure. The ladies will be watching because they do talk about it to me at least twice a week. When I have events with them, they say, it's coming. Yes, Sophie, it's coming. I said, yes, yes, it's real. It's real. I said, yes, it is real. He is going to do it. So
he is. And what's this I hear about him painting, dyeing his hair pink before?
Yes, he will do it, if I'm not mistaken, the day before. So we have to be ready to take pictures of that. I can't wait to see him having pink hair. I'm sure it will be a very busy day at the clinic. Patients will drop by just to see what he looks like.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a great program and great campaign to raise money. So Sophie, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing some insight on what you do, what the program's all about, what's coming, and really thank you for all the wonderful work you are doing to keep this program going. It's really quite something else.
Thank you very much, Denise, but thank you to all the people who support this program, because I wouldn't be doing anything without them. And on behalf of all the ladies that I work with every day for the last 2 years, thank you very much. You have made such an impact on them for the quality of life, for the reduced their anxiety, knowing that there was help, there was support. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure, and we're going to continue doing what we can. So thanks again for joining our podcast. There's going to be many more coming our way, and we appreciate sharing some time with us today.
Will be my pleasure anytime.
Thank you, Sophie.